Good morning, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus at California State University Long Beach Africana Studies Department, along with co-host historian Joe Hembrick. We want to welcome you to the Conscious Corner, and we want to also recognize the good doctor as well as Brother Rasha Key that's on. We're going to be discussing a topic that sometimes people have a misinterpretation of the relevancy and importance of, and it's called Black history. And why do we have Black history? And what is the meaning of it? And what do you do with it? And is it justified? And does it promote racism from the standpoint of calling it Black history? Does that recognize some type of reverse racism or some form of stigmatizing Black people or African Americans as a racial group? So we're going to get into that, but like I said, this is a round table. And so, you know, we want to hear from those that have chimed in. Brother Mashinda just came in. And we want to discuss the relevancy and rationale for Black History Month and the study of Black history, which, as you've seen on the news, many Caucasian groups and even are firing Black superintendents and as well as principals that are teaching the Holocaust of enslavement or what they consider racial subjects that make white students feel uncomfortable. And they are canceling of those type of classes. And parents are saying they have the right to determine what the curriculum is and what they want their kids to learn. And even though you have an ed code, a California teacher's ed code, and most school districts are ran by the state, and they have what they call ed code. It's like they have the penal code, they have the civil code. These are the laws that have been matriculated through the courts and are either legislatively inserted into that area to regulate it and to govern it. So without any further delay, I'd like to start with Brother Mashinda and get his concept of what he thinks Black history is and why or if it should be celebrated and or Black History Month and or just any is it controversial or things of that nature? So, Mashinda, you want to start?
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening, brother.
Yeah. Well, you know, so your question was Black History the Black History Month? Is that a controversial thing?
Well, it's not really controversial. The controversy is, some people want to call it Black Heritage Month, which is not as heritage. It's just, you know, like your past contributions and personalities that have that's a part of your ethnicity and or race that have done things. Whereas Black history covers a whole gamut of things. And it's may always go all the way back to the continent of Africa and things of that nature. So, yeah, you know, and then they had these people saying that they shouldn't be taught because it made white kids uncomfortable. If you talk about the Holocaust of enslavement, if you talk about manumission, if you talk about Reconstruction, if you talk about civil rights, that makes the white kid feel, who had nothing to do with it, as they say, feel guilty or feel bad.
Well, that is a common sentiment among a lot of white folks, you know, they figure, you know, why, you know, we're in America, you know, why do we have to be exposed to? And so a lot of them are ignorant, you know, they don't understand anyway. You know, there's, you know, I've seen a few white folks kind of open their eyes a little bit, you know, that I've dealt with, you know, and after discussions, and they, you know, trying to, you know, get insight, trying to understand, you know, when you break it down to them, somebody that make them understand, you know, the ones that are objective and trying to be open-minded. But even then, you know, it's a struggle for them, you know, so, but it's very important that we continue to, at all costs, you know, try to make people, especially, you know, our generations to come, you know, learn, you know, understand, you know, not only prior, like I say, not only the contributions, but just history in general. Because, you know, with the low self-esteem and the lack of identity, you know, or well, it's not a lack of identify. People identify with whatever they identify with, you know, and so basically, you know, I think that getting away from, you know, what's truth, like roots of truth, you know, the further we get away from that, which is, you know, history is laced with that, you know, that understanding, you know, of course, that's the whole point. I think they want to, the further we get away from that understanding, you know, the mind control and the, you know, just the,
How do you define what Black history is? And what is your concept of the parameters of it? Or is there any parameters?
Well, so you
how
know,
do you define Black history? What do you think it is? And what do you think the purpose of Black history is?
Well, you know, I define Black history as a chronicle, you know, it's a, you know, a chronicle of a multitude of events and that have taken place over the, you know, far as you can go back. So, you know, basically, you know, it's global, it's a world history, you know, it's not, you know, I think that you say any boundaries or parameters or anything, you know, understanding, you know, the contribution of Black folks on the planet, period. You know, and trying to, you know, bring it to the forefront, you know, it's, so, you know, it's, like I said, it's a chronicle of truth, you know, and, but anyway, it's kind of broad for me, you know what I mean? You know, we can go in depth, but like I say, I know there's different cultures all across the world where, you know, there's little micro, there's subcultures and things like that, you know, so people celebrate, you know, like say a celebration of their contributions or who they are, their whatever. But at the end of the day, all of it is interconnected, I believe, you know, and that's, you know, so I think there's a force that's in play to, you know, to continue to try to dismantle that, you know, and try to, you know, make people, you know, like I said, there's, I think Brother Hembrick was, made a comment about, he said it, he walked outside the store or wherever he was at, and he bet that if they could name, you know, name an African country.
So you look at, you talked about.
Go ahead.
So, you know, people, you know, like I say, the youngsters is very ignorant, you know, and, you know, on that, you know, I remember when I, you know, started my quest for truth or and history being my guide and in terms of trying to search for a higher understanding on multiple levels, on multiple things. And, you know, it kind of made me conscious on another level in terms of, so, you know, I'm not better than anybody or whatever, but just to, you know, to try to, and it's, I'm still learning, you know, so to to continue to try to evolve in this life. You know, I'm still understanding, still learning, you know, but anyway, been a part of many kids, many adults' lives and trying to impart, you know, history on, you know, within my own right, within my own understanding, based on a lot of what you talk about and a lot of the authors and different folks. I've studied some of the guys and ladies and, you know, so anyway, so no major answer, Dr. Ra, you know, just.
Okay. No, but you did good. And thanks for your comments. My niece just came in, Mary Lynn Glasgow. She's her daughter is a principal. And her daughter's son, ZJ, is one of the, he just won a scholarship to Harvard. And now and he went and graduated from Harvard. Now he got a Rhodes Scholar, and he's in Europe learning. What you know, he won a Rhodes Scholarship, and now he's in Europe learning. But he also played in advertisement. He's multi-talented. So I'm gonna get to her in a minute, Marilyn. Just hold on. Good doctor, how would you define Black history, its relevancy, and its purpose?
I would define it as just the story of African Americans that arrived, you know, to this country. And what was the other part? The relevancy.
You know, what is the purpose? Why teach it? I mean, you know, what's the purpose?
The purpose is tell the story of the arrival of the Blacks who came here to America. Anytime, you know, I believe, you know, when you have country people that try to misinform, don't tell the truth, don't tell history. I think it's more important, you know, we as a people tell our own history, you know, to keep the true stuff out there, man.
But, okay, but are you suggesting that Black history started with Black people coming to America?
No, mm-hmm. No. I believe Blacks, you call it, you know, travel throughout way before coming here.
Okay. But so what would be the purpose of teaching it? You still there, Doc? Well, he froze up. Brother Rashaki, you wanna chime in?
Well, there's many things that could be said about Black history and its relevance, its purposes. I think when you kind of look at the context in which we live and how we were I'm trying to use the words that make it, you know, how we were brought here in this in the Americas through slavery, and then being in America in a racial context, we had to embrace our Blackness because this is a race-based society. And make it relevant to the point where we would have high self-esteem, be relevant to ourselves and the world. You know, the history, we have a rich history when it goes back to before the coming of the European in Africa. And there's many things that have occurred that was excellent when it comes to Black folks and how Black folks played a role in almost every major commodity in the world. Africa, the richness of Africa, and how it the resources make the world, even in technology, so brilliant. So there's a richness in African history that's very relevant to the way the world is today. But also, you have to, when you look at the history, you could see where we went wrong as a people and how we were subjugated, and then be able to look at the history in order to make things better for ourselves. And like the Kiwita philosophy that you speak about, Dr. Karanga speak about, we could draw from the strong points of African history to enable us to get in a better position in the world as a people, since we live in a color-based society. So that's just a few little things I would add.
Okay, let's go to the, and thank you, Asante Sama, for that.
I'm back, Dr. Roth. Let me,
okay, then. Sorry, I had to take the comment.
Yeah, I had to take a little phone call real quick. But okay. Kind of, you know, Ross Key just reminded me of something. You know, I'll compare it to, I was just watching this show today, to Black history, I compare it to your DNA, you know, people's DNA. Before you were born, your DNA can tell you all about your past and tell you much about your future. So the history, Black history is just like your DNA. It will tell you all about your past, what's all a part of you, in you, where you've been, where you came from, how you derived, and kind of tell you what's, you know, you're going to be in the future, in your mechanics. So that's why I think it's important. You know, it's going to tell you your past, your present, and your future. That's all I have to add.
All right, then. That's good. Marilyn, are you there? Marilyn? Okay, she's you're on mute.
I'm here.
All right then, Marilyn. How would you define Black history? And
why you gonna bring me in the subject? I just came on to listen.
What, you just want to listen?
Yeah, I just want to listen.
All right then. Well, how's EJ doing?
He's doing fine. I just spoke to him yesterday.
Is he back in Europe now?
Yeah, he's been back there. He'll be there until the end of May.
Okay, then. Well, that's good. All right, then. We'll go to Joe Hembrick and let you listen to one of our historians. Joe, could you define Black history as purpose, as relevancy?
That's a job for O'Keefe's working hands. It's America's number one.
You know why we have Black history now?
Fried cracked hands.
I don't ascribe to none of that. I think we compromise by using the term Black. You know, it talks about what we look like, but it doesn't say who we are. And I'm from the area where, you know, whenever you call a people a name, you have to ascribe land and culture to that name. And there's nowhere on the planet named Black land, nowhere. I don't think we ought to compromise on the term African, because when you do, we leave a whole lot out of the picture. For example, and I know that's an African-American thing I derived and all of that, but saying that, you know, you're starting in slavery, which brings on the concept of what we think about ourselves and what others think of us. When you go to the term African, and it opens up a plethora of identification areas that we need to know, that many of us aren't aware of. And excuse me, I don't know if that's by intent or not. when you talk about African history, you're talking about tens of thousands of years. And if people of African descent knew the truth about that, a lot of the inferiority complex stuff would cease to exist, because you would find out that the Europeans that taught you learned from Africa. Everything in Western civilization that Europeans practice in Europe and who are brought here, all those concepts come from Africa. It comes from the Nile Valley. The European Africans had great civilization, and white folks was crawling around, didn't exist, wasn't taking baths, and didn't even know what draws was. They learned all of that from Africans. So if people of African descent knew this, that would go a lot further than them feeling these negative connotations and inferiority complex stuff that we go through. Because when that stuff is hit with us, we can hit back. Well, you know, I taught you life. I taught you how to think. I taught you how to write. I taught you how to speak. I taught you how to take a bath. Taught you how to govern. You know, all of that. All of that comes from Africa. And Black people need to know that so they can speak in confidence when you talk about so-called Black history. And that's where I come from. And its significance is because you draw on examples of the past that can aid you where you are. Because history is the best subject to reward your research. All this religion fervor that we have on these various religions, all of that was derived from Africa. And so, when we get fanatical about certain things, basically religious stuff, and the ones that are practiced here and in Europe didn't exist at one time. Africans, were doing some, other things with nature. Nature is the key to us as a people. That sun, your name, Amun Ra. We need to be out there in it, sucking it up, instead of hiding in the shade, trying to stop ourselves from getting darker. And that's nothing but that melanin activating that's hooking you up to the cosmos, which is what our people are about. So, I kind of take it to another level, but I've been studying it a long time. Because I was a history major in school and graduated from Loyola Marymount, thought I was heavy, found out I didn't know nothing. We are all bamboozled through this, I don't call it education, it's job training, is what this so-called education thing is in America. Education is something you got to do for yourself, because they're not teaching the truth from kindergarten through PhD. In this country, even Black colleges, they'll give you a little nibble because they're getting, money from these European philanthropists. And I think that's why we need to deal with Africans. Let's look at the other people around the world and what they're calling themselves. There's no yellow history. There's no brown history. There's no white history. They ascribe land and culture to those things. European, Asian, Native American, so on and so forth. So why do we got to be a color and not a place? And I got an issue with that. Even Garvey, when he was here, he tried to name the UNIA the African Universal Association, but the Black people, weren't ready for it. That's why they call it Negro. The UNI. The UNI, Universal Negro Improvement Association. But the things that they were doing is stuff that we need to draw upon. I think that was the most profound movement of people of African descent in this country. And And we would also know, if we knew this ancient African history, is that we were here before the Europeans brought us here. You know, that's something else that we don't know. We were already here. We were already all around the world before European rose up. When you look at the chronology, which is the history of time, you can see this plain as day. And if we knew that, we wouldn't be what I call sucking a fried ice cream with a dirty straw, going for the okie doke. Because when you know that you know that you know that you know, and you're grounded, nothing can move you. Nothing they say, nothing they do. So that's my significance of, well, why I think it's significant and why our people need to know it. And
are you suggesting that it shouldn't be called Black History Month, it should be called African World History Month or something like that?
Yeah,
the study of African history.
Study of African history, African people. That's more to the point, because there is a place called Africa. Mm-hmm. Just for example, when they jammed Whoopi up the other day for saying what she said about the Holocaust. If she would have known more of what she should have known, and I don't know if she knows it or not, but she was actually correct in terms of, you know, white folks on white folks. If you go back in the history, you know, the first Hebrews, you know, were black. The word Jew never came into existence until the Europeans, you know, got into the religion. And also, 50 years prior to the Jewish Holocaust in Germany, they were doing it to Africans in Libya, killing about 10 million of them. Running, you know, worse than the so-called Jewish Holocaust. And she could have talked about that, because a lot of the Jews were the scientists that were doing a lot of this stuff. And they also were the financiers of us being brought here. The Dutch East Company and the Dutch East Company were shipping companies owned by them that kind of financed us getting here in the first, well, in the second place, ain't the first place. So, you know, they ain't got no cause to be talking about we anti-whatever, you know, because they have been against us when it favored them to make a dollar over there and here. And in the ghettos across America, they're making a dollar off of us still. So anyway, I'll leave it at that and let some other people comment. I kind of get fired up there a little bit. But
In 1926, author and scholar by the name of, the father of Black History Month.
Carter G. Woodson
started Negro History Week.
Right.
February. He chose February because that was Lincoln's birthday and Frederick Douglass and some people. Where Harriet Tubman is really and they say at the end of February and March, but it was close, so he chose that month. And the reason I make that point, a lot of people say, well, you know, they're cheating us. Yeah, all other people have 31 days in their month of celebration. We only got 28, but Carter G. Woodson chose that day. And the reason he chose it was because of the racial dynamic that Black people were in. And he thought that if you taught them taught white folks in the world about Black people and their significant contribution to the world with regards to inventions, with regards to arts and music, and with regards to significant accomplishments in medicine and in sports and all these things, that they would have a better perspective of treating Black people better. And if they thought, and he thought that if he taught Black people Negro history, that they would have more pride and more self-respect. He put out a number of books and journals. One of them was Miseducation of the Negro in the 1930s. But at the same time, his indebtedness, he finished high school at 21, then went on and became a Harvard graduate. But Carter G. Woodson was a deep thinker. And he really was, he dedicated his whole life to research and studying the achievements and accomplishments of Black people, and as Joe said, chronologizing them, as well as trying to get people to buy into Negro History Week. Fast forward to the 60s, we went from the Negro perspective. Now remember, going back to the 1700s, 1800s, one of the first social organizations was the African Episcopal Methodist Church, by Bishop Allen and I forget the other brother's name, but they started two churches because they went to a white church and the white church kicked them out about in 1800s and kicked them out and drove them out. Said they couldn't worship there, so they started their own church, and they called themselves Africans, the African Episcopal Methodist Church, and so they started two different ones, and so but getting back to Negro History Week in the 60s with the Black movement, and there was two dynamics to the Black liberation movement. A civil rights move, a civil rights aspect of it, and a Black consciousness or Black nationalism or Black power dynamic to it. They were two. But they like to say that the civil rights movement, a recent civil rights movement, we've been fighting for civil rights for years, even before Martin Luther King and before Brown and the people of Kansas and all of those things that Black people achieved in the 50s. But they like to say the civil rights movement started around the 50s all the way up to 66, 67. And then from 68 to 75, to 1975, they say with the Black, some scholars say that it was Black a power movement, and you saw the switch from emphasis on Black power in the 60s with Brother Kwame Ture at that time, and Stokely Carmichael, and the other brother, Willie Ricks, I think that was his name, they both yelled out Black power, but anyway, you get to the point of the academic aspects of it. Oh, Carter G. Woodson, and so that's how we moved from Negro history. Now, Negro is a controversial word. Some say that it's Spanish, that means Black. Some say it's Portuguese, that means a dark color. But, and that the European demonized it. And as they began to go from indentured servitude to chattel slavery, because they say some of the first Black Africans that were brought here for the purposes of enslavement were indentured, and then Virginia and a few other places, which is Jamestown, Fort Jamestown, all of them, they changed laws to go to chattel slavery, and they designated Black people because the Native American would not conform to slavery. That's what they argued. And that so they but that's controversial right there, because and that's what made them go and get more Black people from the from Africa, or people of color from Africa, and brought them here for the purposes of the Holocaust and enslavement. Now, we use the term enslaved rather than slave, because that lets them know that we were a people before we were enslaved. Some people think that, you know, when you say slave, that means Black people, but we were enslaved, and that we were a people before the Holocaust of enslavement, which was, and we call it a Holocaust because it was a monstrous act of viciousness to force people into hundreds of years of enslavement that included rape, incest, and all type of abuses, and designate them as property, not human beings, and things of this nature. So anyway, so in the 60s, 1965, there was a Watts Rebellion, and rebellions everywhere. And so there was a Black cultural movement. And within that context of that of Black culture movement, or Afrocentric culture movement, the most modern day term is Afrocentric, but at that time they called it the Black. We went from color to Negro to Black, and we were trying to offset white power and offset the negativity of white folks naming us Negroes. And so we took the term Black, and then in the 80s, they changed it to African-American, but I'll get to that later. And so what happened was, as we did our research, they found, see, most of Carter G. Woodson's work was done in the East. And although there were some parts done out here, it really came from people that were part of those Black colleges, the 100 Black colleges. They would bring some of the remnants of celebrating Negro History Week to some of the public schools and parks and events. But it's just like Juneteenth, you know, it's really Texas, but people brought it, and now it's a national holiday, but it was really for the people in Jefferson, Texas. But, and just like Black History Month was really something that was really celebrated on the East Coast for the most part. And certain parts of the South and California, I mean, West Coast got it, because most of the Black people who graduated from college came from Black colleges who were exposed to it. And Carter G. Woodson work. So anyway, we began to incorporate Negro History Week somewhere in the 60s, mid-60s. And then as we went into it, development of Black studies, more research, more scholars were liberated, and they found George Carter G. Woodson's work. And they said, well, you know, it's too much for a week. So they made it a month. I mean, they said, we're going to do it for a whole month. They kept February as the designated Black History Month, or Negro History Month, or at that time. And that's how it got to be a month. But now, the critical thing is that we have some outstanding scholars and writers of African history, African American history, and African world history. I mean, we got people that write about Africans in Brazil, Africans in Russia, Africans, you know, on a global dynamic. And so, in order to incorporate that long history as historian Joe was saying, Henry, that it goes all the way to the beginning of humanity. You know, we don't start Black history in slavery. We started in the beginning of the first Black people. Black history started with the first Black people, and so we deal with that aspect of Black history from that perspective of it's a global and universal study of humanity. We're part of humanity. We're part of human history. And so that's the key that was not. The controversy of what you were saying about are we Black? The reason they use the term Black to incorporate all people of color of African origin. As Dr. Yusuf Bien said, there's no such thing as a Black African because there ain't no other kind of African but a dark person. And Black and African were interchangeable. It wasn't that white, see, you get, some people get what white folks calling us Black and us calling us Black is two different dynamics. White folks do it to demean, stigmatize, dominate. You know, he can't be our teacher. You know, the people that oppress you can't be your teacher. But they are the ones that try to instruct us even if we call ourselves Black, they made it bad. You know, the Nation of Islam, you know, angel food cake is white, devil food cake is Black, and they are dark. And they really demonize Negro, they demonize color, they stigmatize Africa, they even demonize Africa to the point that many African Americans don't even want to go to Africa and don't see themselves as African. But they are an African people. That's their geographical origin. Their social location is America, but their anthropological origin is the continent of Africa. And that's the land where the origin of human, Homo sapiens, humans that first walked the earth came from. The Garden of Eden is in Africa, even if you're religious. And if you're evolutionary, the various forms of African. Then you can find artifacts and bones and fossils to prove that. You go to Jurassic, you go to the La Brea Tar Pit and you find dinosaur bones and you don't question them. The dinosaurs existed and things of this nature. But all of a sudden, when you find African bones going all the way back millions of years, it's in Xanthropus fossil and others, all of a sudden, it's like you're going to dismiss that those were African people. And they find pottery, they find tools to show that they built civilizations and that matriarchal system with women. But anyway, getting back to Black History Month. So we stretched it out to a month. Some people always like to claim that they started it, but it was mostly college students and with the Black Student Unions and Black Studies Department that really are the ones that substantially institutionalized it. And so that's why they call it Black. Now, you're in a racial dynamic. Within a racial dynamic, meaning that many African people were cut off from Africa during the Holocaust of enslavement, not just in the United States, the 13 colonies, but also in Brazil. As Brother Henrik always points out, there's more Africans took to South America than to North America to be implanted. All of the Caribbean islands, Jamaica, Haiti, certain parts of Puerto Rico, all of them of African descent people were from the continent of Africa. So there's no question that we are African people from a standpoint of as a good doctor pointed out, from a genetic standpoint, but from our social location. As Malcolm would point out, because a cat climb up in the oven and have kittens does not make the kittens biscuits. Well, because we're born in in this area don't make us a white people, that don't make us American. You know, we are still of African descent, regardless of where we were born and things of this nature. So anyway, but history has a very important aspect, as Prodigy Woodson was saying. And there are many scholars that have written about the relevancy of history and the relevancy of Black History Month. Black History Month was not given to us. European he gave the Gay Day Month, you know, he gave Women Month, which is in March. They give, you know, the Senior Month. Everybody got a month now, but we started it with Black History Month. And that concept of calling ourselves Black was not to give us a to take away from my African identity. It was to include it as a part of our identity, as the foundation of our identity. But we're in a racial dynamic globally. Racism is a global dynamic. Now you can call yourself what you want. You call yourself African, you call yourself Haitian, you call yourself Jamaican. But to the white man, you're all Black. You understand? And y'all, you know, to many Black scholars, we are Black from the standpoint of the Pan-African movement that included all people of African descent. So this is why we do that. Now, Black History Month is something that we do to offset white racism. And there is white racism. There's a lot of white people call themselves white nationalists and white Nazi groups, and they swear they supposed to have the first, the 12 states up north, and that's Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, all of that, they call that white nationalist land. To think that white folks don't call themselves white, you saw in the Trump, white power, white this, white that, they've been doing that. Their biggest struggle right now is to try to have minority rule in this country, because people of color, different ethnic groups, different racial groups are outpopulating them. But they're trying to suppress their vote and have minority rule, like they did in Africa. They made minority rule in Africa, but they, when they had the majority here, it was majority rule. And so, you know, you look at all of that. The significance of history and the purpose of history is to learn its lessons. What was successful and what were not successful. Second, they help it does no good to learn your history if it doesn't help you be a better person. So you have to take the history. Knowing it is one thing. Incorporating it in your daily life and practices and values and ethics is a whole new different thing. And that has to be taught and trained, punished or rewarded, for understanding the importance of your ethics and your morals and your behavior, not only from the standpoint of human interaction among ourselves and how we see ourselves as sacred human beings, and that we should treat each other with the highest respect regardless of our condition. I mean, that's why our parents used to say, respect all your elders, even if they were drunk or even if they were homeless, you respect all elders. Well, we respect all Black people. You understand that? But all this fractionalization of gang and street wars and all that is American. That's not really Black or African. That's, you know, I'm not saying there's not ethnic conflict and a history of ethnic conflict on the continent of Africa. There is groups that have just inherent conflict. But for the most part, there is no, that dynamic doesn't exist within our natural being. And so we have to, for the majority of us, wherever we're at, this is something we did from America. We learned violence. We use their tools, their guns, their drugs, their alcohol. All that's American. They were doing drive-by shootings in the 20s with the organized crime. And you have to understand that. So we learn ethics and morals from our history, our culture. Sitting and listening to grandparents, not today grandparents, because today grandparents may be 30 years old, 25 years old. But I'm talking about great grandparents that lived a life of morals and ethics that they chose to live by, to get along and to work together, borrowing from each other and helping each other, that, all those type of ethics and morals. Then the other thing is, yeah, you get role models to emulate. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that rappers are not good role models for children and or for young people. For some, they gonna make it a career and they want to model themselves off of some successful rap artists and entertainers or athletes. That's okay, but at the same time, your true heroes are those that fight for social and cultural justice where they are and abroad. So, Marcus Garvey got to be just as important as Michael Jordan. Frederick Douglass got to be just as important as LeBron James. The Black women, Harriet Tubman, got to be just as important as Beyonce as far as their contributions that created that atmosphere which people like Beyonce, Michael Jordan, LeBron James could reach their height because of their liberating and becoming the first to argue for social justice in this country. So we learned those lessons. As Joe was saying, indirectly, every time you come to light, you are celebrating Black history because it was a Black man who creates the filament that goes in the light to make the light continue to shine. And every time you eat sugar and sweet candy and things, refined sugar, that's Moshe, so you celebrating it. The potato chip, anytime you eat some chips, the Saratoga chip. Open heart surgery, William Hale, Morgan, every time you stop at the red light, the green light, you celebrate Black history. Indirectly, if you know it, you that's one thing. If you don't know it, and you think white folks created this and others created. Now, let's get back to this. Yeah, Chinese have a history. Latinos have a history. All humans have history. And they all made a contribution to the scientific innovation and greatness of society, in global society. That's where China come from, as far as dishes. And things of that nature. And your mama used to call it a China cabinet for her china. You understand? Because they had Chinese design on the plates and stuff like that and made in China. You understand? And then the same thing with Mexico with pottery. And you go down to Alvaro Street, there's beautiful pottery and various forms of food. It's hard to say you don't like Mexican, but that's all you eat is Taco Bell, and you at the El Pollo Loco and all of that. You eat their food, but you don't like the people. You understand? Same thing. I hate Chinese. They Asian. Then you write the Chinese Express and want some shrimp fried rice, dripping all out your mouth, talking about you don't like Chinese. You understand? And, well, I like the women, but I don't like the men. Well, yeah, well, you understand? Mixed marriages and all of that. The European made laws to create an inferior lifestyle for specifically Black people. And as we got our liberation, we liberated other people of color to be uplifted also. They lifted up past us because we're the most oppressed. Because, as doctor said, because of our genetic power of that, they mix with us. The baby's going to come out with color. And they're trying to create an albino mutation and people from the Caucasoid Mountain as a minority on Earth. It represents like 1/5 of the world population. But they dominate with weaponry, viciousness, and cold-heartedness, agreed to the point that they have really changed the whole atmosphere of the world. But Black History Month is a month that we took to offset white power and to educate ourselves and educate others to the best of African thought, practices, inventions, creativity, art, and music. And it's a celebration of ourselves that even with all the oppression, all the brutality the European been put on us, we still achieved. We rode the storms. Regardless how rough the river was, we got across. We had bridges that got us across, and we still are functioning in a society of suppression, discrimination, exploitation, and abuse. And this brother Flores, who's suing the NFL, you know, is putting his career on the line, like coming at exposing it. It's racism. Having policies. We ain't talking about prejudice. You know, white boy don't like you, good. We ain't talking about no tobacco, overall wearing teethless white boy to say, I hate Black people. I hate Negroes and all of that. That's prejudice. We talking about people that make government laws and policies that affect our opportunity to flourish and to have good health, good health opportunities and access to good health treatment, to justice in the court, to political representation, because we're here. So that's why we celebrate Black History Month. Role models to emulate. I used to tell my sons, you have to look like me, Martin Luther King, or Malcolm X. You understand? And I try to tell my daughters, get somebody with some character and demand that they have character. Don't just get some. You can't come home with nobody with no earrings on, a man with two earrings on and sagging and say, just my boyfriend. Not here. You make him do it once you're 18, you got your own place, but he can't come here because I'm going to check it. You understand? So, man, what are you doing? You understand? You can't come in with boo-boo and tutu and snicky and snocky and snot nose and all of that. No. You got to get somebody that's trying to be something, because you got to try to be something, or you're going to end up you know, in a bad situation. So we love Black History Month because once we started it, white folks didn't give it to us. It didn't demean us. It was brought to uplift us and our African heritage and African identity, and also as Brother Joe said, we have the oldest history. We had the most sacred text way before the Bible. You understand? The Bible it took from African proverbs and African teachings and writings from the hieroglyphics and the coffin text and the papyrus annals and things of this nature. Dr. Joseph Ben chronologized over 200 Bibles. There was over 250 virgins that said that they had immaculate conception. And then there was 16 people that said they were God's sons. And he went, and him and John D. Jackson went and found them. And I mean, just a beautiful thing. The pyramids is still a world wonder. We have a lot to be proud of, but we have a lot to work on as far as teaching people that a part of Black history is not just to chronologize significant achievement, but to also develop ethics and morals and values of family, of manhood and womanhood, and of childhood, duties and responsibilities, commitments to each other, and hopefully a love and a respect for each other. All right, Brother Machine, do you want to respond to anything I said?
No, I'm just listening. You know, thank you for the information. It makes sense, you know, and just want to say that, you know, without understanding of, you know, the great history, you know, which is a lot of major nuggets of, you know, truth, you know, that, you know, you won't, you know, that's the whole deal. You won't be able to unlock greatness, you know, because it's like, it's not just information, it's deeper than that, you know. And it's like, until you're able to use, you know, you guys was talking about DNA, you know, it's tied into DNA and a lot of other things. And, you know, if you don't understand, you know, like I said, if you don't have that, if you don't do research, you know, don't come to the forefront, you know, it will continue to drift off, you know, into some kind of other orbit. But but that's the only way you're going to unlock your greatness, is to understand, you know, what came before you, you know, what's the roadmap, you know. All right. Thank you, Doctor.
All right. What about you, good doctor?
No, it sound good points. A lot of information there.
Must be kind. All right, Brother Rashi Key.
Back in school, Ra. Hey, it's wonderful to know that you have what you've been through. And I think it gives you when you learn Black history and African history, it gives you an assignment to reach for that greatness and continue greatness within your own right. And like you said, we're the moral vanguard of the world, so that means that we have to take what's in place and replace it with the richness of what once was. So I enjoy the lessons that we're receiving, And we're gonna keep doing what we're doing because it's needed. So I appreciate all that you bring to the table and everybody, Hembrick, Mashinda, Doctor, and just Mary Lynn, her just coming is a good thing. So big up to the history of us.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is that, you try to encourage people, take a little time out for yourself. You're doing so much, but take some time out for education. I mean, it's like reading a book, it's like sitting up under the elders and listening to moral and ethical stories you can go to Bible studies. Those are just collections of stories. That's what Bible means, a collection of books. And they call it the Holy Bible because they're supposed to be God's words, God's revelations to these so-called people that translated it. But when it comes down to, and I'm not saying people shouldn't be religious or spiritual if that's what they choose to be, but I am saying that part of being you is learning your spirituality, the history of your spirituality, as Brother Hembrick said, always say, and that's very critical. Going all the way back to the origin of creation and the concept of lunar gods and sun gods and gods that walked around on earth that were deified through the various processes of the people, which God, the word God, just meant gods and goddesses, meant just people that made significant contribution to life development and life enhancement and moral and ethical interactions that built great, 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 great empires during our ancient history and institutionalization. But we go to the era of discovery, and the era of discovery is prehistory. And that's when we discover things. So you understand? And then you go to the era of institutionalization. And see, it's hard to create if you're out hunting and being hunted and you don't have no leisure time. You can't be creative. It's about survival. You see, but once you go from hunting food to producing food, and once you go from hunting, gathering food to producing food, and hunting, and then you begin to raise animals, you don't have to go out and hunt them. You just go and take one out and kill it and skin it and do it. That's what they used to do in the country. They had smokehouses where they go and they do a chicken, or they kill a pig, or they kill a cow, and they chop them up and put them in the smokehouse and things of this nature. And so now you can be creative because you have an abundance. You put food up, you learn how to freeze it, you learn different things, how to preserve it. That's what they put, our parents used to put stuff in jars, and they called it preservatives, to preserve it for later. And then they started selling and trading and bartering amongst themselves. Miss Johnson got the best apricot sauce. This person made the best kind of barbecue sauce. This. And it's just a beautiful thing. But anyway, Brother Hembrick, you want to add?
I just want to chime back in on the couple of aspects of the history. First of all, going back to the enslavement, we must understand that 1,000 years before that occurred, the Arab had did the same thing on the east coast of Africa. And it flourished from across North Africa into West Africa. A lot of those Africans that were caught on the West had been converted to Islam, you know, by the, you know, the, you know, through the Muhammad era, them being, you know, fed up with Christianity and what it was doing and whatnot. But even prior to that, in the Nile Valley, when the Assyrians came in, that was the start of it. And I just want to say that a lot of these ethnic groups, like you were going around the world talking about in China and all these different places, well, the first people to bring civilization to those places were Africans also. Through India, going to the East, the martial arts, all of that. We come from a great people that brought, you know, not only civilization to the West, but also to Asia, the Pacific Islands, and all of that. Even Europe. If you look, I think it's a brother named Edward Scobie wrote a book called The Black Presence in Europe. And you go through those monarchies, and you know, they have these family shields with different pictures of the ancestors on the shields. At first they were black, and they get lighter and lighter and lighter, leading up to this brother Alessandro de' Medici, who was the offspring of Cardinal de' Medici and his bondwoman Anna. And you know, like he had 14 kids, and they all married into royal houses of Europe, and even Japan. In order to be a good samurai, you know, one needed a bit of black blood. And I also want to mention that I don't know if you guys heard of. I know they used to promote this king on these calendars, King Masimusa. In 1200, I think he was out of Ghana, over in the Mali, somewhere over there. And he got 200 ships in 1200 AD and sailed, and he put his brother on the throne. He was called the richest man in the world at the time. And he put his brother on the throne in 1200 and sailed to South America with 200 ships, and they never came back. So, you know, all of this Latino stuff that they're gravitating to, they got from us. Those stone heads on the peninsula of Veracruz that are on display in the Natural History Museum in New York City. I think it's about 10 of them, about 8 by 10 feet tall, carved out of black stone. They look like brothers with a football helmet on, you know, without a face mask. Who taught those native peoples how to build pyramids, those so-called Aztec pyramids in Mexico. So, you know, we have our imprint everywhere on the planet. First, you understand? First, I know I had a picture of some sisters in ancient China with dreadlocks, okay? So talk about a month. I think it need to be all year that we study this, because there's so much information. And with all I know, brothers and sisters, I just scratched the surface myself. But for some newbies who want to study, let me recommend J.A. Rogers. He traveled all around the world doing research on every continent, and he has a 2-volume work called World's Great Men of Color. And he goes on every continent pulling out all the significant contributions that people of African descent have made in all of the continents on planet Earth. So he'd be a good place to start. And a great book that he wrote called From Superman to Man is excellent. It's an excellent read. It's only about 120 some odd pages. I really think the book is about him. He's a Pullman porter on the train, and he's coming from Oklahoma to LA. And you got this senator, this white senator on the train, and they would discuss history in the cigar car at night. And this guy was real prejudiced, talking about Africans was cannibals and all this and that. But anyway, the crux of the book is this Pullman Porter, who knew all this history, brings this great senator down from Superman to man. And I'm going to end there. And Brother Raw, you can take us on home.
Yeah, that's a novel. That's one of his great novels. He had also a 6-volume Race and Racism or something like that. And I got his World Great Men of Color, volumes 1 and 2. J.D. Rogers, he was motivated by a lot of things to do his historical writing because, you know, he's real light, like John G. Jackson. Right. And, he just ran into a lot of racism because of his, even though he had whiteness in his family. But let me just say this. Malcolm X made a point. He said, history is the one science that rewards all research. Everybody said they love Malcolm, but they, you got to love what Malcolm's about. Malcolm was a disciplined soldier, for the Nation of Islam. He created the whole concept of going in prison and converting people because he was converted in prison. And so he started that program. He started the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, which is now the Final Call. It was Malcolm that wrote it at night. Malcolm was the one that started eating one meal a day and fasting and things of this nature. He was a very honest and disciplined person. And as well as John G. Jackson, who said history is a compass that tells the people where they've been and where they are and where they're going. And then you had Dr. Naeem Akbar, a psychologist, who said history is a quantitative and qualitative. It's about how much it is, from a quantitative standpoint and qualitative. I mean, it has to be the most significant aspect. You don't have to tell all of it. It's just the most important time. And then Dr. Karenga talks about history as a record of a people in their interaction with the world, changing their environment into their image and interest. And that's very critical. But again, I'm going to say, it doesn't mean, people say, well, if people knew their history, they'd do better. Yeah, but they got to also put it into practice. Put it into practice. I had to learn a lot of life lessons coming up in Wadscompton. And, we had 12 brothers and sisters, I didn't really get, we didn't like white people, and that was black to us. But learning about how to be a better human being, how to be a better father, how to be a better husband, how to be a better a person to work to get in position to help others. The whole primary goal, even those that don't appreciate it, or those that don't know that you're helping them, you just do it because it makes you a better person. And so I really appreciate Rasipi for giving us this platform and giving us an opportunity to share the significance and the importance of Black history, because it's about our moral agenda, our ethical agenda. You see, finding peace within yourself. You understand? It's good to say about great people, but do you feel great? And by learning about other great people, would that make you feel great? Learning about other honest and ethical people, would that make you feel better? Those are the questions that we have to begin to incorporate in our curriculum, our home curriculum, as well as the books that we choose for our children to read and study groups. So, Rasha Key, you tell them what's going on Wednesday and sign us on off?
Yes, sir. Here we go. The website that we just finished the Black History Month roundtable discussion, and we're moving on to Shea Cotton, social media and its influences. That should be very interesting. Well, that's what we got on Wednesday, and you can access the meeting right here.
Tell them who Shea Cotton is.
A basketball player, a phenom basketball player that was exceptional in high school. And he had some things happen in his life that caused, it happened to him. And I think that he could better tell it. And you can watch the show that we did with him. But I think, he was exploited by the media, but how he was exploited in college and in high school, and to the point where it negatively affected him, and he had some issues behind it, but he's doing great work right now. And you could go back. Let's take you to the website where you could see, where you could pull up the podcast of the show. It was done like 3 weeks ago. So more longer than that, it was up on January the 10th at Conscious Corner on this show, Dealing with Adversity. And you can access the audio here, and then on YouTube, you can access it also. But he's a brilliant young man, and he's doing a lot of good work in the community and for young people. So that's, we'll be talking on Wednesday with him. So that's what's going on Wednesday, everybody. And please come out if you can. Okay. All right, Professor Ra.
All right, we'll be with the Community Education Network this Wednesday. And you're welcome to join Marinette. Thanks for listening in. And we'll be having our family Zoom soon. And we'll get back to you, to everyone. We want to thank the good doctor, thank Mashinda and Brother Henrik for this presentation on the relevancy of Black history and month and Black history, period. And we deeply appreciate everybody's contribution. Oh, next Monday, Brother, the National Association for the Study of African American Life, of Carlton G. Woodson Group, used to be Negro Life. Their national theme for Black History Month, and they set the theme every year, is health and wellness. And Brother Henrik is going to be talking about health and wellness, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be talking about gardening and the importance of us walking, exercising, and doing things to stay healthy. So we encourage everyone to come in next Monday and hear Brother Henrik's presentation, and encourage as many people as you can to come and listen, because it's about life-saving and life-enhancing activities. All right.
All right, Conscious Corner, each one teach one.
Okay.